Okay, now we'd like to receive Pastor Julie Colblum. Since we all weren't supposed to be here today, we were supposed to encourage her. So she is our substitute speaker this morning. We're delighted to have her. 5 years in Moscow, Russia as a missionary with her husband and family, or family, growing family in those days. And other places around the world, and now they're living over in Oak Harbor, but they've pastored in Oregon and Arizona, as well as Hawaii and Russia. We welcome you, Mrs.
Colblum. Good to be here. Well, this morning I want to share with you on faith. I really want to share with you on forgiveness, but God's still working with me on that forgetting part, so I thought I better wait till I've got that down a little better. You know, forgiveness is such a wonderful thing. And last week, as Pastor Kev had us sharing, I was privileged to sit at a table where a woman told me, and she knows who she is, that forgiveness just came. That was a gift that she had. That was one of her giftings. And it's so easy to forgive, but when you've got young children, it's not always so easy to forget. So you can be praying for me that I walk in that. Anyway, today I want to talk about faith. Pastor Carl just shared on that in communion. And I want to look at some scriptures. Actually, I'm going to be looking at a lot of scriptures today, so you'll be able to follow along. But first, let's start out with a present. Who likes presents? Now, you know, there's different kinds of people. There are people that like surprise presents. And, you know, anything, it's just a surprise as a present. That's awesome. And then there's people who like not-so-surprise presents. I tend to usually be over in the not-so-surprise present. I'll never forget, a friend of mine went shopping with me one time, and she said, I want to get you what you want. And it was months before Christmas or whatever it was. And I picked out, she had me pick out two lanterns. And I really liked them. And I totally forgot. I mean, not even, I didn't remember at all that I had done that with her. And so when it was time to open these gifts, I had no idea what they were. And she kept saying, you do so. And I said, no, I totally, completely am clueless here. I have no idea. And when I opened them up, I was so excited because I really had totally forgotten. And they were exactly what I liked. They were exactly the way I wanted them to be. Everything about them was perfect. And so I like presents. And I like to know that it's going to fit, you know. It's nothing like saying thank you to somebody for the gift and saying it didn't fit. The dog didn't fit, you know. Who gave me what? But with God, we have an ability to go back and remember all the gifts that he's given us. We've got the scripture. Now, first, let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians is one of my favorite books. Ephesians 8. No, not Ephesians 8. There is no Ephesians 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. I'll give you a second to get there. Last night I stayed up and wrote out all my scriptures because I didn't want to have to take all the time to be turning, but I'll give you a chance to get there. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that any man or woman may boast. Now I'm a teacher, and one of the things that God has gifted me with is the ability to love teaching, and I love teaching grammar and writing, and I love to tutor. Tutoring, I'm working on setting back up some tutoring so that I can bring in a little helpful income to our family. And as I was sitting before God today, and Pastor Carl was speaking, God gave me a revelation of another way I can tutor. I can tutor online with iChat. And so I was really excited. You know, I used to go and spend time with God, and I'd be praying, and I'd be trying to pray. And I'd get all these things coming in my head, and I'd be so condemned and try and forget them. And finally God said, hello, that's me bringing those things to your mind. Keep a piece of paper, write it down, and thank me that I'm bringing things to your mind that you need to remember. Then, after you've written them down, you can continue to concentrate on praying. And so I realized that God is the best at multitasking and helping us. He's always got something he wants to tell us if we're wanting to listen. But if we're so concentrating on what we think we need to do, and I'll get into this a little later, sometimes we can totally miss what he has for us right now. Sometimes we forget how practical he is. We have a very practical God that's very involved in wanting to help us. And we need to not be so caught up in being obedient that we lose sight of the blessings he has for us. So let's look at this as an English teacher. Prepositions are very important in the English language. They help us understand relation. I'm going to be tutoring. I'm always working with different kids in different places, and I can't believe how many kids, they use prepositions, but they have no idea what they are. They couldn't pick out a preposition to save their life. Well, prepositions are pretty easy once you understand them to pick them out of any sentence. And we have a lot of prepositions in this scripture. Let's see, who can find the first preposition in that scripture? For by grace, good, for by grace are ye saved through. What is through? Preposition. Preposition that shows relationship. Does it say near grace or near faith?
No.
Does it say over faith?
No.
Does it say under faith?
No.
Does it say around faith?
No.
Around faith, we are saved. No, what does it say?
Through.
What does that mean? How many of you have been to Italy or any of the Alps, any of the countries of the Alps over in Europe? Have you gone through the Alps? You're in there and you go through a long time to come out the other side, and you're thinking, really kind of hope there's not an earthquake. But 13 kilometers, you're driving through a mountain. You're not under it, you're not over it, you're not around it, you're going through. That's what faith is. Faith is something we have to go through. And not of ourselves, it is the gift, there's that present, of God, not of works that any man may boast. Now let's look at another important thing. Verbs. What do verbs show us?
Action.
State of being or action. Okay, what is a huge action verb? Saved. Saved is it's an action verb. It's something happened. Something has occurred. Okay, so we've looked at this scripture. We're going to read it one more time. Let's see, I should be. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. There's that not of yourselves. It's not you. It is the gift of God, not of works, that any man or woman may boast. Not that we would ever boast. Would we ever boast? I think so. I think that's in there for a reason. So we want to go through. Faith is something we have to go through. So we know we need faith, and faith is the key then to unlock our salvation. Okay? Let's see what else Ephesians tells us. Ephesians tells us. 6:16. 16. Ephesians 6:16. This is an important scripture. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Again, an action verb, quench. Now, I thought this was really interesting this time when I read it, because I went, so faith acts as more than just a shield, because a lot of times I've always grown up thinking, you know, I did the whole armor of God thing and threw out the different pictures, but I've always seen this as a shield. And now I realize it's not just a shield, it's a shield with a built-in fire extinguisher. It quenches. It doesn't merely stop them. It quenches them. The darts from the enemy are not just little rubber-tipped darts. They're not just arrows. They are flaming.
That's right.
And we need to quench them. Because if you don't, what happens? You can get burned. Anybody ever been burned?
Yeah.
So, you know, if back, you can tell how old I am. I grew up ironing. And, you know, I don't know anybody that hasn't learned iron that doesn't end up with some burns. Or if you cook, how many times you grab something. I remember finding out that a hot pad to get something out of the oven that is, you realize it's been in there just a little too long. When your hands are in the dish soap, dry them off before you put your hot pad on. Because a wet hand does not make a hot pad work. We know that we can be burned. We need that shield of faith, and we need to see it as the power it is, that it has a fire extinguisher that's going to cause those darts not just to hit us, but to keep us from being burned. We all know when you get near something too hot, you can get burned. I remember a friend of mine had a fireplace, a gas fireplace, and I said, how do you, she had toddlers, and I was like, this is way before I had kids, how do you keep them from worrying about them falling into it or touching it? And she said, when it's on hot, you take their hand and you bring it up to it. And they'll feel the heat and they'll want to pull away. And then you say, hot, and that helps them. They learn it. And that's something we need to do with God. We need to say, God, show me. Oh, I think I better stay away from this, not play with it. Let's take that a step further. Have you ever been burned in a relationship? If you haven't, then you haven't had any relationships. Our shield of faith we use in our relationships. It protects us. We're on that side that God can keeps us and protects us so that when we're hurt in a relationship, we don't become bitter. So what were we finding? Faith is pretty handy to have around. Pretty nice that we didn't just get the scripture. We were given the gift of faith. Now we're going to look at some faith sizes. Does faith, is what faith? One size fits all? Let's take a look. Matthew 15:28. This one was too long. I decided I was going to read this one right from the scripture here. Matthew 15, and we're going to start with verse 22 and read through 28. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, this morning we had prayer requests for children and grandchildren. When a mama or a grandma asks for prayer, they want something done about it. I remember being over in Russia, and we had, my husband was helping to be the principal of a Christian international school, and we had a Japanese mother who wanted something for her children. And let me tell you, you may think that Japanese women, you know, are demure and quiet and cute, and she showed me that Japanese women can outpush any Caucasian woman I've ever met. I mean, they are strong. They're all moms. We're all moms. This woman needed something for her daughter, and she wasn't going to let anything get in the way. So let's see how Jesus just totally took her right into him. Is that what happened? But he answered her not a word. Sounds like a man, doesn't it? And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent to the lost, I'm not but sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And if you understand the customs and the time, it was kind of not the thing to do for her to be that pushy. But she knew her daughter needed help, and she wouldn't let anything get in her way. And she didn't get the attention right away. In fact, it almost looks like she's going to be dismissed, but she persevered and she pressed through. And she is who Jesus says had great faith. So am I saying you have great faith if you're pushy? You better make sure what you're pushing for. It's important to have perseverance in faith. Matthew 17:20 tells us another size. It tells us that if we have faith as a mustard seed, we can move mountains. Now there, some of us say, well, you know, my personality really isn't that pushy. You know, that's not me. It might not be. But if you're not that person, I know you can have faith as a mustard seed. And look what God can do with that. So whatever kind of personality you have, there's the right size faith for you. And God's there waiting to share joys with you as you will walk in faith. Large or small, faith does it all. Okay, now I'm going to share more about faith by using an acronym that God gave me, that laid it on my heart. We're going to talk about the F is fellowship, the A is action, the I is intimacy, the T is teaching, and the H is hope. I like to end on hope. Our loving Father cares about us so much. He had Jesus pray for us regarding our faith. Luke 22:32. I love that. I love that we've got a Father God that is not afar off. There is no other religion on this earth that has that. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. We aren't doing this faith thing on our own. This isn't just something God said, okay, do it, I'm over here.
Right.
He's right there. He's right there supporting us. And we are to stand with one another, being there to encourage each other in our faith. You all know that, otherwise you wouldn't be here. You'd be home listening to maybe the TV, maybe the radio, maybe just your comforter. You know, you need each other. That's why you're here. We all want to see. We need each other, and we need that strength. Last week, we sang a song called This Little or Big Light of Mine. I'm going to let it shine. Jesus has been speaking to me about what kind of light we're to have. And sometimes our light's too little. Sometimes we let our light become so big that we use it as an interrogation lamp. I haven't found that very many people warm up too easily to an interrogation lamp. They don't want to share. They don't want to talk. If you want to have a light that draws people, you want a light that is warm and welcoming. That's the kind of lamp that I want to be. That's the kind of light I want to have. We need to let our light of friendship and acceptance draw others to Him. That's what He did. His lamp was one that everybody wanted to be with. They wanted to be around Him. They just wanted to be by Him. That means it was big enough to see, but it wasn't so overwhelming and hot that they ran away. Okay, I want to share don't let my pages get out of line here. I want to share from a scripture, not from scripture, from a paper called Beware of the Stronghold of Cold Love. And this is by Francis Frangipane. Is your love growing and becoming softer, brighter, more daring, and more visible? I just love that. Is our love becoming more, is it becoming softer? I remember years ago listening to a counselor, and he said he often judged a woman by how huggable she seemed. There are some women, like Sue, would you please come up here? Would you please come up here? Now, this is an example of a huggable woman. I have certain friends, and we call this a mutual hug. Because when I hug this woman, don't you just want to hug her?
Yeah.
You just want, see?
Yeah.
That's a mutual hug. I can give that, and I receive it. That's that softness. That's the way Jesus was. People just wanted to be around Him. There was something in Him that just drew. That's what I want to be like. And that's what that scripture says to me, that his warmth is there. He wants us. We need to be like him. We need to extend that out because we've received it. Okay. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:9. We're going to talk about where this fellowship comes. First of all, we fellowship with God. That's why I said we have to get it first. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, we are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Good place to start. Start with Jesus. Then if you flip over to 2 Corinthians 8:4, tells us another place we need to have fellowship. It's with others. It tells us we are to take upon the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. That's what we're doing. We're all here and we're ministering one another to one another. It's first with God, then with others. And then, of course, we need to, Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2, favorite scripture. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and there is all comfort in the Spirit. Jesus left us with the Holy Spirit to be our comforter. If any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So we need to get that fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Can't do better than that. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit rocks.
Amen.
So now we've got this fellowship. Let's go on to action. Now action, when you think of that through faith, this is the action. This can be frightening. It is very scary to begin with. When God really asks you to do something out of your comfort zone, and you have to step out in faith. You look like you're all old enough to have seen Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Remember that? When he gets in and he's going to get into the Grail. And he can't see anything but a big... It looks like there's no way to get across this valley. This chasm? Am I saying that right? But he knows from the Word that he's supposed to step out. But he can't say anything. But he knows what to do. But he can't see anything. And finally, he says, okay, I'm going to be obedient. And once he's taken that first step, remember, he goes down and he sprinkles sand or something and he sees this path that he could not possibly see until after he took the first step. There's so many opportunities like that in our life where we can justify to ourselves that we don't need to take that path. And when we do that, we miss what God has for us. But sometimes we think we need to jump off that cliff. And we think, if there's a rope, I'm sure that the rope is around my neck. So therefore, when I jump, I'm going to hang myself. You need to see that is a harness around you, that God's got you. And even if you fall for a minute, he's going to meet you. When I realized that, it changed my life in terms of doing things that were scary. Because I just knew, no, that's not around my neck. It's not around my neck. It's not a hangman's noose. It's a harness. And God is so delighted with our willingness to be obedient. He's going to do nothing but be there for us. He totally wants to be there for us. But you know, if you sit on in a plane and don't ever let them take off, you never know the joy of flying. If your life seems a little stale, ask God, what area am I not moving? I'm just sitting there wondering why I don't feel the joy, wondering why things are like there. What is God asking you to step out in? Okay, James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Most of you probably have that memorized. We need to 2:17. That was James 2:17. And I'm going to go through a couple of these scriptures a little more rapidly. But we need to serve him, again, not just sitting there in adoration, but by action. We are not just Buddhist priests somewhere, spending our whole lives meditating away. We need to spend that time with Jesus, get that fullness, and then be ready to do what he has. Psalm 100, verse 2. How are we supposed to do this action? Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So we're not even supposed to just go through it like, there's another day of serving God today. I guess I better go get what I need to get done. What's my check-off list today? No, we're supposed to serve him with gladness. That's not always easy. The way that it gets easier is by going and spending that time in the Word and getting filled up and seeing what his promises are to us and staying there long enough that we realize, this isn't about me, is it? Then it's amazing how much easier it is to do it with gladness. There should be joy in our actions as we minister to Jesus. Action. Do I allow myself to be interrupted in my well-doing? Let's see. For me, it's by my kids. I am so busy making sure I have a good house, making sure I get through everything, and we're doing our curriculum and whatnot. Do I allow myself to be interrupted? To hear that somebody just found a flower that's perfect and they love it? Or am I, no, I've got to keep going here. Just give me a minute. Jesus was such a good example of this. When he ministered, the children wanted to come see him, and the disciples are like, no, it's not the time right now. Jesus is busy ministering. Yes, and who is he here to minister to? The children. Have faith like a child. And Jesus said, come on, you're not an interruption. You're what it's all about. Again, we have to make sure we don't get so busy being obedient that we miss touching people with his love and warmth. Don't mess up your light by your obedience. Okay, I've already said that. We need to constantly be looking at the Father for direction like Jesus did. Jesus absolutely did not do the same thing the same way every time he ministered. He did not. There is not a formula. He did not heal the same way. He did not touch the same way. He did not minister the same way in every situation. The one thing he did consistently was look to the Father. It takes intimacy with the Father to look to him. Pastor Sherry, would you please recite Psalm 73, verse 28. Yeah, why are you going to tell everybody the wonderful things?
Because he's good, because I love him.
Because you were close to him.
Amen.
If someone does something nice for you one time, you may or may not tell somebody about it. If somebody continually does wonderful things for you, pretty soon you're going to have to share that with someone else. So if you don't have all those wonderful things happening in your life that's overflowing, you're probably not spending enough time in intimacy with the Father. And you can find out how to do that with Pastor Sherry. She will be happy to show you how to do that. Not going to preach that message right now. But Jesus was constantly in the midst of what he was doing, took time to look to the Father and say, what now? How now? When we were in Africa, we were praying for people to receive healing. And God told David, you need to make mud with spit and put it on his eyes because he's blind. And David's really wanting to say, no, I need to be praying for these people here who are doing this. It's all nice. God's like, you need to do this. David's like, well, I'm going to look a little silly. Besides, this is all going well. Finally he said, okay, I have to be obedient to what the Father's saying, not just how I'm used to doing things. And he was. It was a huge step of faith for him. He didn't know how it would get received. So he asked the guy's permission if he could pray for him in this way. And the man said yes. And you know, he prayed for him. And guess what? That man was not instantly seeing. That's where you go, okay, where's the rope? I moved out. But interestingly enough, several months later, we heard that that man had his sight had been restored. He was one of those that first he just saw, the trees are moving, the trees are walking. Oh, those are people. My daughter just got glasses, so she's saying, oh, look, at there are pine leaves, or there are pine needles on a tree, not just a tree. But if he hadn't have done that, I don't believe that man's sight would have been restored. We have to look to the Father.
Praise God.
So that takes us further into the I, which is intimacy. This weekend we knew we were going different directions. So Thursday night my husband came home and I said, well, come on, we got to go. And he says, what? Where are we going? He was, what did I forget? Did I forget something? And I said, no, we're going on a date night. I just decided we needed a date night. We had the most wonderful evening. It's wonderful when the oldest is responsible enough and willing to babysit. And you can have dates again. But we love being able to share that look from across the room. We love being able to be with one another and just having that hand on your shoulder or putting your hand on someone's shoulder and knowing that it's not just a hand, but there's something there. I had the most wonderful time with my mom last night. Fortunately, I know that they do not always return when they say they are going to return. So you have to be prepared always for their return to be sooner. And so when they came in, I was surprised but not in unbelief. I was not completely done with my messages. I was not, because I'm speaking with the women or anyone else that wants to help with children's ministries, I'm going to be teaching that this afternoon. And I just went, am I going to get my message done? What am I going to do? You know, how is this all going to come together? And I just decided to enjoy some time with my mom. I had some of the best time with my mom last night. We just did. I mean, it was so wonderful. I've been excited about coming over and working with those that want to learn how to work with children. And I was excited to be able to come over and speak. But that time was a gift. That time with my mom was a gift. My husband wasn't here. My kids weren't here. I got her all to myself. And I treasure that. And I stepped through the faith and took advantage of it. I didn't just say, okay, well, I'm busy now. I'm preparing to speak in your church. I've got to make sure I have it all done right. No, I was able to say, no, I'm going to enjoy this. Intimacy is taking that time with Jesus, and it's also taking that time with those that you're building relationship with. I'm a little dyslexic when it comes to numbers, you can tell. Psalm 31, 7 and 8. Love this scripture. Psalm 31, verses 7 and 8. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. My hero. He really knows me and he doesn't abandon me. He knows everything I've been through. You know your friends that have been there for you through thick and thin, or as I say sometimes, through thick and thick. He really knows us, and he's not going to leave us out there hanging.
That's right.
A couple of weeks ago, I went down to spend some time with my sister-in-law. She'd been asking for some help on some things, and my husband couldn't take the time off of work, so I went down. And she lives in Brentwood, which if you know that area, that's significant, apparently. And she wanted to take me to a benefit that she had planned to go to. And she said, well, if I don't go, I don't mind, because the cause is a cause I want to support. But she really wanted to take me with her. Now, some of you may not believe it, but in my core, I am incredibly beyond shy. If I ever come into church and I don't really talk to you, it's not because I don't like you. It's because I am, in my core, very shy. Sometimes people think I've snubbed them. Well, you looked right at me and you didn't say anything. No, I couldn't, because I couldn't look up far enough to see you. I'm just not that good in situations where I don't know anyone, situations where I know I have nothing in common with people, which is this benefit. Down on a very exclusive restaurant that they'd close the restaurant and it was just there for the benefit. Now, my tendency would be to not go at all. Or if I go and, Mama, could you come up here for a minute? I need, since she's here, I might as well, you know, use her. This would be my tendency. Here's my mother talking to everyone as you know she can, and here am I. At my wedding, for my receiving line, my sister stood right next to me so she could greet everybody and I could just go. So that's who I am at my core. I just learned to walk in faith. And I knew, I felt before God, I needed to go and be a light. So I'm psyching myself up. I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. Through God who strengthens me, all things are possible. And in the day before in Disneyland, I took my kids to, my oldest and my youngest to Disneyland, and we did park hopper. We'd been there before, so I knew this was possible. I knew where everything was, and I knew I would be running like a chicken with my head cut off. We were in Disneyland, then we were in California Adventure, then we were back to Disneyland, and the park is open from 10 in the morning till 8 at night. It was closer to 9 by the time we got out of there. And I had brought my kids a change of clothes so they can do the wet rides and not be, you know, have 50-pound jeans on. And I'd done all these things. I'd planned. However, I did not want to carry lightweight flip-flops around for myself. Now, my favorite ride, the one we share, is the Rapids. We went on it 4 times in a row. Now, when you go in the fall when all the other kids are back in public school, it's really a nice time to visit Disneyland. So if you have grandparents, take them on off season. There are no lines to speak of. You can sometimes stay on a ride and go around and around. However, the rapids, you get soaked. My tennis shoes didn't just get wet. It was like I jumped in the pool with them. And I had a little teeny tiny blister on this foot. By the time I had walked around and finished the ride and finished all the rest of the time at the park, and we did like 26 different rides and shows in those hours, that blister was now seriously that big. We were 3 blocks away from the hotel, and I do not spend money very freely, so I was not going to spend $3 a person to wait for a bus to take us 3 blocks to our hotel. By the time we got there, I could barely walk. The blister was so big, I knew I had to do something about it. It took a lot of needles going in and out before I could get this blister under control enough so that I would be able to walk on my foot and not just on this huge blister. The next day, we're going to the benefit. Now, of course, I had a dress that was fine. It was okay. The only shoes I could wear were my Crocs-style flip-flops that my dog has chewed. This is a lot going into the story, but you have to understand, we're talking about faith here. We're talking about being a light. Does this look like what you see typically in L.A.? I knew going in there, but I couldn't even have shoes that would make me feel, you know, like I can kind of fake it. And I knew that before I even walked in, I saw a lady's shoes that I knew were $1,500 plus shoes on most of these women. And I'm going, interesting. Well, I'm just going to be me. There's no chance to. And I went in there and I said, God, I know I'm here for a reason. I know I'm to touch lives. I'm going to be in you. I'm going to lean on you. And I leaned in him. And I went from conversation to conversation to conversation. I didn't spend any time with my sister-in-law. I was able to have meaningful conversations with some people that I don't know when the last time they had a meaningful conversation was. I had a blast being me in Jesus, a light.
Good.
It was almost like an out-of-body experience. It was incredible to see God meet me as I jumped off the cliff. Time and time again, because every new conversation, no one was coming to talk to me. I had to go up and become a part of someone's conversation or be a part of talking to someone else who was standing by themselves looking like, or in many cases. And no, they were not Asian. Lean in him. Lean in him. Now we come to teaching. And I know, I'm sorry, I'm going a little long, but I'm almost done. Teaching, Psalm 25, 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. A couple pages over, Psalm 27, 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a path, plain path, because of mine enemies. Let's hop over to Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So don't just teach, but he's with me as I'm teaching. He was with me. And one of the blessings that came out of the time down in this benefit, I met some really nice people. Mrs. Kenny Rogers, his ex, is just a lovely, lovely woman. I met some different people, and one of the people I met was a woman who I found out her name was Julianne. Juliana, she was named after, and I said, were you named after? She says, the Queen of the Netherlands. And I said, I was named after the Queen of the Netherlands. And we got to talking, and she had, I tell you, these people are in circles that are not the kind of circles I deal with day to day. She had had the privilege of luncheoning with the Queen in one of their villas in Rome, or in Italy. And she had not had the courage to ask the Queen for a picture with her, even though she was her namesake. And she said, I was always sorry I didn't do that. But I had asked her, I said, can I get a picture with you? I've never met someone with the same name named after the same queen, and we had a wonderful visit. And I thought, you know, God just drops in little blessings. I would never even have met her if I'd have just stayed next to my sister-in-law. And I never would have found that out. And I think she was just as blessed as I was. So when we go about what we're doing, when we're teaching, look for the blessings God has. We need to know his commands in order to teach them, so we need to make sure we're in the Word. Okay, John 14:26. And again, if you want to find that, it's John 14:26. I'm going to go ahead and read it. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And again, that's, remember at the beginning of the service, I talked about how I'm doing one thing and God brings something to my remembrance. This is a scripture that says he's going to do it. What do you know? At the end of that scripture, it says that he is going to leave us with his peace. I love that. That peace fills me with hope. John 14:27. Jesus tells us not to let our hearts be troubled or to be afraid. He really, really loves us. Psalm 16, verse 9. My flesh shall rest in hope. Sometimes I have to remind my flesh to do that. Does your flesh just always rest in hope by yourself? We have to remind our, my flesh shall rest in hope. You know, I work with my children. You shall do that. I have to do that to my flesh. My flesh shall rest. That's what I'm to do. And as soon as I tell my flesh to do that, you know what? The whole world goes. I have was working with a personal trainer, and she told me, she said, your shoulders are not to be your earrings. If you're working out like this, you're doing something wrong. And in life, our shoulders aren't to be our earrings. If we're like this, we need to have our flesh rest in hope and let that peace come from God. In Psalm 119, verse 49, remember the words unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. We need to talk with God and remind him of what he is doing for us and to be reminded of what he has done for us. 1 Timothy 1:1 tells us, that Jesus is our hope. And Hebrews 6:19 through 20. We have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that. Hebrews 6:19 through 20. Okay, I'm going to start over. We have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that which within the veil, I'm going to have to turn to that because I can't read my writing. This was close to 1 o'clock there, I think, that last scripture. Can you bear with me for just a minute, please? Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Again, that's that intimacy that lets us go in. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever. So Jesus went in before us, and now we have that ability to go in, right into the Father, relationship with our Abba Father. How many of you that have ever had a boat or a ship here in, that you would go out without an anchor? Who's had a ship? Would you go out without an anchor? Why not? Because you need that. You need it. And you need to know that the anchor is the right size for the ship, don't you? When we're on that, when we're on a cruise ship, that anchor wasn't a little tiny anchor you'd find on a 40-foot yacht. It was a huge anchor. Our anchor is Jesus, and he is steadfast, and that gives us a lot of hope. And then, of course, we can laugh. Scripture today talked about weeping and then laughing. Psalm 126, verse 2. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. And they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them.
Yes.
There's that light again, shining. Even the heathen could see it. Let's let our laughter be something and our light be something as we walk in faith, that it draws others unto him. Let's walk in fellowship, action, intimacy, teaching, and hope together. Amen. Thank you, pastors, for letting me come and be a part today. And thank you for coming back.
Aren't you glad she came today?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad you came today?
Yeah.
I'm glad I was here today. Fellowship, action, intimacy, teaching, hope. A lot of very practical things for us to be able to apply to our lives. Great message, Pastor Julie, and great to have you here with us.